You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the latest episode of Locked On Pac-12, where we keep you locked into the Conference of Champions. There's no better place to get all of your Pac-12 conference news than the Locked On Pac-12 podcast, hosted by me, Cindy Robinson. Follow the Locked On Pac-12 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we're taking a look at a few Pac-12 football head coaches that are either on the hot seat or maybe making an exit soon. I'm joined by Brian Brown of Locked On Utes. How's it going, Brian?
Every day I get to hang out with my favorite Pac-12 co-host is a great day.
That's what I'm talking about. Look, favorite within a week. It didn't take long, guys.
That was a day one. We're day one.
That's what I'm talking about. We connected. We were here from the start. Okay, Brian. So over here in LA area, you know, USC, Clay Helton. He's been on the hot seat for like a few years now, I feel like.
Yeah, that seat is hotter than the pavement in LA during a hot streak. And it's kind of bizarre, honestly. I think most people are really surprised that he still has a job there. Kind of eked out another season in the pandemic. And I think had there not been other things going on at USC outside the football program, there definitely might have been a move made. But this is it for him. It's make or break right now. There are multiple coaches on the staff right now that could take over midseason even. And so seeing another tarmac move would not be a surprise either, right?
Okay, so here's what I'm confused about, though. His stats aren't bad. It just seems to not be up to the USC standard, which one thing I will say about LA sports is you win or you're gone. Like, that's literally the mindset there, the mentality. LA likes winners. LA likes parades. LA likes championships. And so if you're not bringing that, I understand it's like, okay, next in line, please. But it's not that he hasn't won. He just hasn't finished the job out, right? Like, first to have 10 win seasons in first two full years as a head coach at USC. He has more wins than any USC coach in his first two full seasons, 21. Three Pac-12 championships, none of which he has actually won, but Pac-12 championship showings. And then this 2020 season, 5-1. So it's like, on paper, it doesn't look bad, but I guess it hasn't always been pretty throughout the seasons.
Yeah, I think what it is, it's like when you go to a hamburger stand and you get that burger and it looks real nice when you pull it out of the package and you take that first bite and you're just like, what did they do? Is it sawdust? And that's kind of what it is for USC. Like you said, that is an LA program and LA does not suffer the losers. It is a very competitive market. And so as a school, you have to be a winner. Not only that, but there is so much pressure on them to be the banner winner or the banner carrier for the conference because it is such a recognizable name, a recognizable program. Everything from the Trojan putting the sword in the field to Fight On, and most fans who grew up watching college football in the early 2000s think of those Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart teams where they were just absolutely loaded and dominating, and that's not what you see from USC from year to year. Are they getting by? Sure. But are they really the dominant force and the dominant program that they need to be? Absolutely not. And I think the hard part about it, if you're a USC fan, is that you have everything, right? You've got LA, you're right in the middle of it. The campus there is beautiful. The school's got tons of money, at least in theory, right?
Yeah.
And the program has the prestige, the facilities are beautiful. You're in the midst of one of the hottest recruiting areas in the country. There's maybe two other areas that are better and or equal to what you have in California. And I think a lot of the reason that you're seeing this West Coast exodus is because nobody wants to go play at USC. They're not that fun, cool, enticing program that they were. Like, there's not a lot of swagger that drips out of it anymore. And yeah. I'm not coming at that like as a hater. What I'm saying is that like Clay Helton at any school in the G5, is a perfect fit. Like, if you put him at Colorado State, he's probably winning Mountain West Conference championships over and over and over again. But at a school like USC, like, you need a coach that has that extra juice when they show up for work every single day and has that star power. I thought that was one of the things that they've really never captured since Pete Carroll has left.
I will say this, for anyone who is unaware of the legacy of USC football, I'll make this as simple as I can. You have the Los Angeles Lakers, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and then you have USC football. And it's not even that there's two pro football teams there, the Chargers and the Rams. They're still newer teams. LA likes having them there, but they're still not the predominant football team. The predominant football team that people love and care about is USC. And so for them not to be producing trophies, which is what they're looking for, that is the issue and why I feel like Clay Helton is getting a bulk of, you know, that critique.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's somewhat deserved. Like, there's no excuse for not going out and getting a top five recruiting class every single year at USC. Now, they are starting to turn on the heat a little bit more with that. They went out and got some coaches that can do the recruiting a little bit at a higher level, that are doing more work in the recruiting realm. Mm-hmm. But you got to translate that on the field. And like we talked about on Monday, there's a slew of guys that have transferred or left the USC program that were highly ranked and did nothing on the field. And that's got to change as well. They should be having 8 to 10 guys getting drafted every single year like Alabama. And until they get to that point, that seat is always going to be hot no matter what coach is in charge.
So it's very clear that this season, Clay needs to go ahead and pull out a Pac-12 South win and obviously stay in the AP rankings. But I think beyond that, he needs to bring home a championship.
Yeah, that's the only way that you keep it. And like, you've got to, if you have a stumble or a bad loss at any point during the early parts of this season, I don't think you hesitate at all if you're USC to pull the plug on that. You've got coaches on staff that you could promote to be the interim and see how they do. You know, I think USC did that with Ed Orgeron, and he proved himself, and they made what seems like the bad choice to let him go and try and go in a different direction. And it did kind of backfire on them a little bit, as he's gone and won a national championship at LSU and found a home. You have a chance to repeat that and get it right this time.
Brian, if Clay Helton wants to keep his job, he should probably get some Built Bars.
Let me tell you.
Might help out.
He's not getting nearly enough of that whey protein, because if he was, he'd be out there screaming and yelling and all full of energy, because that's why you eat those Built Bars, right? Like, to get that good protein in you, to get fired up, not be hangry all the time.
Not be hangry. That's the plus right there. But I'm sure the team could benefit from Built Bars as well. They're a great treat, but good to have for you after a workout. 17 grams of protein, like, great. That's amazing. In a one little bar, less than 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs. Super healthy for you. Worth it. So many flavors. That's probably the best part. Because you can have so many to choose from mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate. It's like you're eating a dessert, but it's good for you. Like, you can't beat that.
No, unbeatable. It's my favorite protein bar without a doubt. Even before I was getting the hookup from the Locked On Network, I was grabbing on Built Bars all the time. The consistency is great. Like, it's not that grainy. It's not that crunchy. It's not that kind of weird protein bar. This tastes like an actual candy bar. Like, my favorite without a doubt, the coconut brownie crumble, and they got to get you some coming your way ASAP.
I'm gonna be waiting forever. I've just decided, so I might have to just order my own and use this promo code that we have. I'm gonna let you guys in on the promo code too, so you're not waiting like me. Go to builtbar.com and the promo code is locked15 for 15% off your first order. So maybe instead of waiting on, you know, my little free package, I just go ahead and take the plunge and spend it and use my 15% off. All right, now we're heading over to that other LA school, the rivals, UCLA Bruins. Mr. Chip Kelly, another coach on the hot seat. He's only had 3 seasons at UCLA so far, and the first 2 were not pretty at all. 3-9, 4-8. I don't think that's counting the
I don't know if anybody's counting the COVID year, and it was a rough one for UCLA as well. Had to play that weird early morning Sunday game against Cal. So like we won't hold last year, and I won't hold last year against anybody, but especially not.
Well, we'll say this. The last year probably is what saved him somewhat, because you saw the improvement from the team. You saw the improvement from Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Even their losses, some of them were heartbreaking losses where it was like they were in the game and it was just a few points. You know, it was a one situation that I know that loss to USC and that double overtime to Stanford was probably the hardest. A USC loss is always an issue because, you know, that's the rivalry game. It's always going to be emotional, whatever. But that Stanford double overtime was probably the pinnacle of like, wow, we really just lost this. But they definitely had some shocking wins, that beating ASU, blowing out Cal. So it wasn't terrible. And I think that's what saved him so far. But this is not the Chip Kelly we're used to seeing, not the Chip Kelly we saw at Oregon.
It's not the innovation and the explosive offense that we tend to look at when we look at Chip Kelly, right? He's been a lot more, I guess, pedestrian in terms of trying to break the mold and everything like that. But what they've really invested in is building a solid offense that can contribute on multiple levels. We've seen DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, improve from year to year. He had the best pass efficiency mark since 2005 at 156.29 in the passer rating category. He's gained some good experience. You know, Joshua Kelly was a back-to-back 1,000-yard running back, now moving on to the NFL. And so you're starting to see things like that, you know, really start to pop for UCLA, where I think they've run into issues is on the defensive side of the football. And that's really where they need to get better. You know, you mentioned in the losses, it was their inability to stop people that really, really hurt them. And so that's where you have to look at them and say, okay, what have you done to change your defense? What are you like? How are you going to develop guys and get talent on that defense so that you can actually contribute and compete? And the other aspect of it too is that you're at a UCLA program that really hasn't been dominant for a long, long time.
I was going to say that. That's been the one thing where the coaches have had the leeway to, I'll say, not be the best and, you know, still keep their jobs a little longer than people probably wanted them to.
Yeah, UCLA has been the rare program where actually winning games maybe hasn't been the priority for the athletic department, but I think that's starting to change. You have a new athletic director in Martin Jarmond, yeah, who is a really, really good, you know, talented, charismatic athletic director, a younger guy. He's already brought a lot of change and culture to the athletic department with the Jordan deal. And listen, if you're an old head and you're just like, why does that matter? Like
it matters. Oh my God.
It does.
When I saw that, I just was like, why am I a USC alum? For a moment, just for a moment, y'all. I'm not, yeah. don't look, my Trojans, don't get mad at me, okay? It was just a moment, you know. I'm a Jordan, look, I'm a little sneakerhead. I call myself a baby sneakerhead. I don't need every sneaker, but the Jordans do call my name, okay? And that just hurt my heart. Like, I wanted to be a part of that.
Anybody who grew up in the 90s, and maybe if you're even older like me and it was late 80s, like Jordans were the sneaker. Like that was what you wanted for Christmas. That was the only thing that needed to come under the tree. Like I remember my first pair of getting the fours, and everybody's got that emotional connection to it, right? But like that's the thing, is that UCLA hasn't been that program where they had a marker out on the West Coast where people were buying and repping the gear, and that baby blue and gold, it doesn't seem like it really has an impact anywhere, and it should. They've got beautiful facilities. Pasadena is amazing. It's a great school. It's right there again in the heart of recruiting in California. How are you not going out and getting kids who can play and contribute and making teams that are really dominant? So that's the task, and we're talking about both the LA schools having this issue, right? So how do you create a program where you eliminate the distractions and you get these guys bought in and focused on football so that you really do play up to the level of your expectations, and not only expectations, but what you have there on campus?
Well, you know, some of the distractions are what brings them to those campuses, though, because going to school at USC or UCLA is just like living in LA.
Yeah.
And with that being said, you have so much going on around you. And it's not all like celebrities are walking down the street left and right, you guys. It's not that. But there is access to those worlds a lot easier than if you were going to school in Washington like me. So, you know.
And I went to a JUCO that was a lot like, you know, Pullman, where it's like when you were done with practice, you went home because there was nothing else to do. If you're in Pasadena, it's like, all right, what can't we do? You know what I mean?
Because the campus is in Westwood. So that's even more. I mean, I've spent time in Westwood. I've spent time in, you know, near USC and LA. And it's so many things you can do. And for those who are from there, it's easy to go hang out with your childhood friends, your parents, whatever the case may be. So there's pluses and cons, you know, obviously to anywhere you go. But
That's been the problem, is that they've always gone after the types of players that wanted to be there because they wanted to be in LA, and not the types of players because they wanted to develop and grow as football players. I think when you look at the programs that have been on the rise in the Pac-12, it's Washington, it's Stanford, it's Utah, it's ASU, and ASU is probably the outlier in that one because, look, we're all going to Tempe for one thing, and that's having a good time. But what Herm Edwards has done is he's created a culture of growth within that, and that's what we haven't seen yet from Chip Kelly.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, ASU is definitely a party school. We're going to touch on them for sure this season. They're rising, though. You've seen a lot of change in what Herm is doing over there with that program. But like you said, yeah, we're not seeing that with Chip Kelly. And so going into this season, I definitely think that it's going to be one that he has to make some actual moves. We have to see some wins. We need to see some improvement. If there is going to be a full season, they're going to be looking to actually closing out those close losses instead of, you know, falling on the other side.
And that's the measure of growth, right? How do you perform when you're in those close games? How do you perform when the chips really are on the line and you have an opportunity to get that win? I think for UCLA, the South is going to be mayhem this year because there are a lot of programs that are good to very good. Who's going to emerge? And I think if you're UCLA, like, you've got to be either at the top or near the top of that if you're Chip Kelly, if you want to keep that job.
And now I wonder if he actually will. And if you're wondering like me, I think that's something worth betting on. I don't know. I don't know. So if you're interested in that, maybe you should head on over to betonline.ag.
Yeah. I mean, what a great idea. Like, if you think, you know, that UCLA is going to be great next year, I bet you there's something over there, like maybe futures or odds to win, that betonline.ag has available for you to put down a little cheddar. Nothing like putting some money in your online betting savings account so that when things do come around, you get that Christmas bonus, self-made, no better feeling.
That's what I'm talking about. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And you can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game, especially as teams prep for this run on the to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code is locked on, guys. So all you have to do is head on over there, get 50% welcome bonus, make a little money, you know, on any bets. Playoffs are coming up. NBA playoffs. Who you got for NBA playoffs? Who you looking?
I'm 801 born and bred. I'm a Jazz fan all the way.
I was gonna say, I should have known. I'm not even gonna go there because I don't want LA people to get mad at me, so I don't want to talk about it.
People just mad because they're in the play-in game. I get it.
That is true. I'm not a big Lakers fan. My family is, but I'm not. I like to make them mad, so I go against the grain.
We'll be good with that then, together, you and me.
There we go. All right, moving on to Northern California. We're taking a look at Cal. Now, Justin Wilcox, not really particularly on the hot seat, we would say, but just someone that could be potentially hot for the market of head coaches.
Yeah, I think he's a hot prospect, and I think that's where Cal could be in trouble, right? He's really turned that program around. They haven't had that breakthrough season yet where they've been either, you know, leading the Pac-12 North or in contention for a title game. Last year was just an absolute disaster for them, and by no fault of his, COVID wrecked everything for Cal. But he's a guy that, where when you look at him, I think he might be the most likely to leave a school and go somewhere else from all the coaches in the Pac-12. You know, David Shaw's not going anywhere. Mario Cristobal's definitely not going anywhere. We talked about Clay and Chip being, you know, forced out. I think Wilcox is a guy that we can talk about possibly leaving and going somewhere else.
So I think that's always interesting when you can say, like, I have leveraged this much from, you know, my experience and what I've done here at this school. So now teams are going to look to possibly poach me, or I can make more money, or whatever the case may be. But what do you think it would take for him to stay at Cal?
I think it's with Wilcox. I think the bigger issue is he's got job security. He's got safety. He just got an extension through 2023. So there is some security there, but they're going to have to step up and pay him there at Cal if he continues these winning ways. I think the bigger issue for Wilcox is likely, what's the ceiling for Cal as a program? How much can you really win there? And if there is an opportunity to go someplace else where you can be more competitive, especially even on the West Coast. So like we talked about Chip Kelly and Clay Helton, if they get fired, if you're Justin Wilcox, why wouldn't you just slide down a few schools south, and you still have all the same recruiting ties, you still know the market, you still know the area. Why wouldn't you go to those programs that are more built to succeed right now than stay at Cal?
What is it about Cal's program that we haven't seen them really be dominant? Consistent, sure, but like not really, you know, making the real noise that they probably should be making in the Pac-12. I think they're in the South, right?
Pac-12 North.
They're in the North too? Okay.
Yeah.
Pac-12 North. That always gets confusing once we get to that California area, but okay. what do you think it is that, I mean, I get it. You have Oregon, you have Stanford, you have UW as challengers, but like, what is it that they are not being able to get over that hump?
I think it's really been the quarterback position has been the biggest teaser for them. They really haven't had a lot of stability and reliability there. Defensively, they've been pretty strong. They also suffer a little bit from the same complex that some of these other schools. They've kind of fallen into that that smaller school tier in the Pac-12, right? So like Utah, Colorado, Washington State, Oregon State, and Cal are kind of those, and maybe Arizona, you throw, are kind of those lesser, not lesser known, but like not as sparkly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As some of the other programs. And I think what Utah's done to climb out of that is they built it on defense and development and player development and just being incredibly solid across the board in terms of their fundamentals. And they caught some, you know, they caught luck to where they had senior laden teams at times where USC was on a downswing and some of the other programs were on a downswing. They just ran into the juggernaut that is Washington. And that's Cal's biggest issue too, is that they've never found an opportunity where they could slide in there where Oregon or Washington or Stanford wasn't on an upswing of a year. And so maybe this is the year where they catch that lightning in a bottle and they have just enough talent there. They've been really steady on the recruiting trail. That's the other part of the problem too, is all these Pac-12 schools just kind of eat each other alive in recruiting.
Man, they all have a lot to offer. Like, especially there's four schools in California, and granted the Bay Area is different from Southern California, but you are still getting predominantly good weather, great facilities, great education. It's not like hard. If at the end of the day, the one thing you're fighting over is the better program.
That's exactly it. And it's like you said, there's so much appeal for so many of these schools, you know, and each one kind of fills its own niche. But that's the problem, is that Cal has kind of been at the bottom of the list in terms of either getting players to the NFL. Like you have multiple schools that offer great education. Like any school in the Pac-12, you're going to get a good education, right? So what is it that you're looking for? Are you looking for environment? Are you looking for player development? You know, and as you start to look at that, being able to stand out, Cal's got to win in order to get ahead of some of these guys.
Definitely. Because I, at the end of the day, players want to join teams that they know are heading towards those championships. And that's why, I mean, USC has, you know, the caliber of players they do because they're known for winning, at least in the past. They have a reputation. They have a legacy. Same thing with, I would say, Stanford at this point, too, because the pipeline to the NFL from Stanford is crazy at this point. Like you said, Cal has some names in the league. That's not necessarily the issue, but they're not like a dominant name in the Pac-12.
Yeah, like the only player that you can really think of from Cal that's in the NFL right now is Jared Goff. And then
No, don't even do that. There's Cam Jordan, Keenan Allen, Marvin Jones. Look, don't play Cal like that.
That's fair. And those are all, like, I mean, there are a lot of Cal dudes in the NFL, right? Like Tyson Alualu, Mitch Schwartz, like the list goes on and on. Aaron Rodgers, obviously. But the recent stuff, like you said, there's just not a big star in the NFL there. You know, like, maybe that doesn't matter. Maybe it does. I don't know.
I think it does when you're thinking about, like, your future. And I definitely think a lot of these high school players, when they're looking for their colleges, they're looking at that connection to the NFL because that's the goal, right? That means some people care more about the education, about the place of how, like, where the school is at or how the school is actually doing currently, you know, in NCAA. But a lot of it, I do think they pay attention to is, like, how many players you get to the NFL each year. Who do you have, like, connected coming back to the games to talk to us and, like, you know, who can give us good advice, that type of stuff. So I'm not quite sure what's going on with Cal's program fully there, but I do think that has something to do with it. So if Justin Wilcox makes the decision, like, you know, I have the skill set, I know I can bring a program up, whatever the case may be, where would you think he would go?
I mean, so that's the question, right? Like, I think what he's done at Cal with – they have budgetary restrictions there. The facilities are not top notch. The program has been in a bit of a lull. And so he's kind of had to recreate a culture and a brand for them. And he's done well. Like I said, outside of 2020, he's been on the rise. They've been, you know, winning consistently, other than his first year, two winning seasons, and he'll be going into his fifth year. So if he starts winning this season, like 3 out of 5 winning seasons at Cal, it doesn't sound like a huge deal. But when you look at how they've been for the last decade, it kind of is. And so you've got to look at, like, what schools are going to be opening up that would want that kind of coach with West Coast ties. Like, I think the Southern California schools would definitely be in. You're probably not going to see a move from Washington or Oregon. And he's been at, you know, in that area before. The other one that you have to point out is, like, the SEC is going to come calling at some point. And he's been to Tennessee, so he understands the SEC. You know, he has a defensive background, but he does bring a lot of good West Coast recruiting ties with him. And that seems to be the big deal for those SEC programs, is to grab a couple West Coast QBs, bring them out to the SEC and let them develop and grow.
I feel like this year, 2021, is going to be something to watch for sure, because now we're looking to see if Cal can come up in the ranks and, you know, actually make some noise in the Pac-12. We're looking to see if USC is going to do what they are expected to do, and UCLA, if you can turn it around.
It's top to bottom. This might be the most, like, pivotal year for the conference in a long, long time. And it's a perfect year to get Larry Scott out the door and get someone in who can do a better job.
Ooh. Yeah. And on that note, we are going to wrap this up. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you check out Locked On Today podcast. It's all your sports news in under 20 minutes. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Follow Locked On Pac-12 on the Odyssey app, Locked On Utes on the Odyssey app. And then you can follow Locked On Pac-12 on Twitter at @LO_Pac-12. You can follow me on Twitter @_CindyRobinson. And then you can follow Brian on Twitter at
@BrownBearSLC.
There you go. There you have it, people. Thanks for listening, and make sure you guys stay tuned on, or stay locked on to Pac-12 on the Locked On Network. So many locked ons. Just stay locked on.
It's what we do here.
Have a good day.